interview with Dr. Sheldon Chang.
Were you formerly chairman of the
electrical
engineering department?
All right, tell me a little bit about your background.
Okay. I was born in 1920 in Shanghai, but I grew up in Beijing, China. I went to an American university, the Yanjing University.
Yanjing.
Mm-hmm. At that time, the president was Clayton Stewart. He later becomes ambassador of the United States to China.
I see. How do you spell his last name?
S-T-U-A-R-T.
Stewart.
Yes, Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
Clayton Stewart.
Clayton Stewart.
I entered Yanjing in 1938.
Yes.
At that time, China, Beijing was already occupied by Japan. Because Yanjing flew the American flag, so we were not interfered by Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Then sometime in the spring of 1940, I read an article about the future war between Japan and the United States. The article says the first point of attack will be Pearl Harbor.
Where was the article?
That's some Chinese article.
A Chinese article?
Yes, about world affairs. And after I read the article, I thought this is not good. If Japan and America really get into war, what shall we be? We'll be enslaved by the Japanese. So I decided to go to the Free China in the South.
All right.
Okay. At that time, my family were already in Free China.
In Free China?
Right. I was in Beijing because my father thought I should stay in one place to complete my education. Beijing is our ancestral home.
I see. By Free China, what do you mean?
Oh, that's a part of China not occupied by Japanese.
Oh, I see.
At that time, Japan occupied the northeast part of China.
Mm-hmm.
At some point they reached Yangtze River, other points they didn't, so you say.
I see. Which river?
Yangtze River.
Yangtze
River, yeah. Yellow River was mostly in their hands already.
I see.
At that time I understood they did not allow students to go to Free China.
Mm-hmm.
But they allow commerce in between the two parts of China. So if I want to go, I have to be dressed like an apprentice or someone.
Yes, like a businessman.
Oh, we will not qualify for that. Too young.
You're too young yet, I see.
So, I dress like an apprentice in the shop, and then I thought the best way was to travel in a Japanese ship, because then they would at least notice you.
Mm-hmm.
So I took a Japanese ship from Tianjin to Shanghai.
Mm-hmm.
Once I got there, I took a short distance from Shanghai to Ningpo. Commerce ship.
Mm-hmm.
Once I reach Ningpo, that's already Free China. Then we...
Not Singapore.
Ningpo.
Ningpo.
Right.
Yes. Right.
Then I travel to Kunming.
Kunming. Mm-hmm.
That's where the one of the best universities in China was there, in Kunming. One of the three top universities
I see.
Combined together. One is Beijing University.
Yes.
One is Tsinghua University. Uh-huh. One is Nankai University. Uh-huh. Combined into one university called National Southwest Associated University.
National Southwest Associated University.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's in Kunming.
In Kunming.
And that's in the Southwest.
Right.
Yes.
I became a physics student in the third year.
Mm-hmm.
There I met Frank Yang. He was in the same year.
I see.
Frank, at that time, his father was a math professor in the same university.
In that university, I see.
Mm-hmm. And he lived about a few miles from the university.
Yes, I think we're ready to order.
Yeah.
Why?
From the university.
Frank?
Frank Yang.
Yes.
He carried a very big bag with all his books in the bag.
I see. Uh-huh.
So at that time we gave him a nickname, the little kid carrying a big bag.
The little kid carrying a big bag. Uh-huh. Now what year was this?
That's 1940. Right. That was the height of the Japanese bombing.
Bombing?
Bombing. Kunming.
Chongqing. I see.
But we got the alert. We just ran into the mountains when they came.
I see.
So actually there was no menace to the students there.
I see. Hmm. So,
then I graduated in 42.
42. Mm-hmm.
And entered the graduate school in physics of that same university,
mm-hmm.
the same year with Frank Yang.
I see.
Then Frank moved away from his family. We were roommates, the three of us, actually four of us.
Four of them.
Frank, myself, and Professor Hong. He's one of the tops in solid state physics. Later he was a student, Max Born, in England.
I see. Of Max?
Max Born.
Born.
B-O-R-N. Max Born.
I see.
Another was Lin, he's in biology.
I see.
He became professor in this country too.
L-I-N-G?
L-I-N-G, right.
Okay.
Then in 43, I thought that I must do something for the war effort. So I went to a garment radio works as a radio designer, designed military equipment in that company. Then in 1944, America gave Lend-Lease to China in various forms.
Mm-hmm.
One form is a fellowship mm-hmm. for coming to United States to study.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chinese government gave that fellowship by open competitive examination.
Mm-hmm.
Since I was working on radio engineering, I took the examination in electrical engineering
mm-hmm.
and got out in 45.
In 45?
Right. We took the examination in the winter of 44 and I got in, got out in 45.
That's right. Now did, what did Frank Yang take?
Frank took the physics examination, but that's a boxer's.
A boxer?
Boxer's indemnity money. You know, there was a boxer in Rebellion, and the Chinese government gave a lot of money as some sort of compensation to the eight nations who were in that war.
I see. Mm-hmm.
America was the only nation who used the money as for education purposes in China. They used the money to first establish Tsinghua University
mm-hmm.
and also used the money for the fellowships
mm-hmm.
To for Chinese students to come out abroad to study. You can use that money to go to England, America, mostly. Mm-hmm. That's the highest honor in China. Frank got number one in that academic year.
Is that right? Good for him.
So he came out of the country in the same year, 1945.
Uh-huh.
But he went to the University of Chicago.
Yes.
I went to Purdue University.
You went to Purdue. Uh-huh. Well, Purdue is a good engineering school.
That's right.
All right. So you were here in 45 then?
Right.
You came in 45.
Right. I got my PhD from Purdue in 47.
Uh-huh.
Then I went to work for a few years for industry.
Whereabouts in industry?
In Ohio.
In Ohio. Uh-huh.
Then in 52, I joined the New York University. I joined the faculty of New York University.
NYU.
They promoted me quite fast. By 58, I was a full professor.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, now, all right, that's your background. 58 to 63, when you came here, what did you do?
Oh,
between?
I was teaching at NYU.
At NYU?
Yeah, from 52 to 63.
To 63.
Okay. Yeah. Then came to interview for Stony Brook.
Who was responsible for bringing you to Stony Brook?
That's Armin Zamanian.
Zamanian, mm-hmm.
Right. He talked about Stony Brook,
mm-hmm.
And I thought that's any university depends on funding.
Yes.
At that time, Stony Brook is very well funded.
Right.
I think here's one place which probably going to be a great university. I came to Stony Brook. I have to find the salt and pepper.
Salt and pepper?
My interview was with Dean Irvine.
Yes.
At that time they need a chairman of electrical engineering department.
Mm-hmm.
I would be more interested in a full professor without all this administrative duty, but that was not possible. So my interview was in the spring of 61.
Mm-hmm.
That's in planting fields. At that time, I lived near Lincoln Center.
Mm-hmm.
The Lincoln Center was nearly established. They also, with the establishment of the Lincoln Center, there are some apartments called Lincoln Towers.
Lincoln Towers, I see.
I live in Lincoln Towers.
I see.
Lincoln Center at the time was playing The King and I.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
So I came to interview into the at the planting field following the instructions. Then I saw some building, which certainly did not like it. College of Engineering,
yeah.
More like an oriental building.
Okay. Right.
Then Dean Irvine came out. He looked really like the king in The King and I.
Yes.
But he was very nice. He certainly didn't act like the king in The King and I.
No. He was minus his hair.
Mm-hmm. We agreed that we would come to Stony Brook in 63 instead of 62 because I did not want to give NYU a very short notice.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Why don't you go ahead with the soup? I'll stop this for. Do you have any regrets about coming to Stony Brook?
No.
If things worked out well for you here?
Not completely ideal, but I think it worked out for me here.
Good. Idea about what
a university is, or
yes,
should be.
Mm-hmm.
There are two models of a university.
Mm-hmm.
Most universities are between these two models. Two models.
Yes.
Two extremes.
Mm-hmm.
One model is that a gathering of scholars.
Mm-hmm.
In various areas, dedicated to advance of knowledge and propagation of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
The university structure is only incidental.
Which one?
Only incidental,
yes.
To make this possible.
Mm-hmm.
So, if this is the case, then the administration of the university is at the service of the professors.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The other model is the university just like a factory. The professors are the workers and the students are the product. The students are the product.
The product. Mm-hmm.
And the administration will lord over the workers. I think Stony Brook is somewhere in between. I'd like to see it be in the first model.
Yes. Is it, you say Stony Brook is somewhere in between.
This quite straight.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It takes time to have an institution which consists of persons,
mm-hmm,
organized for certain purposes. It takes time to have an institution have a shakedown cruise until it finds its identity and the forms of action that it really can do best and wants to perpetuate. You consider Harvard has a history of 300 years,
mm-hmm,
and Yale 250, something like that. I think one of the differences the Harvard Corporation consists,
mm-hmm,
of five people,
mm-hmm,
very carefully chosen for their ability, their understanding of what an educational institution is.
Mm-hmm.
The local council of Stony Brook is chosen for political reasons,
mm-hmm,
to enhance the reputation of the individual.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them know very little about
education.